This is Lead 1212, a podcast on Christ-centered leadership with Chris and Dave. Thanks for listening. Now here's the fellas.
Hey, everybody. We're here. We made it. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Hello.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you excited that we're here?
Come on. I'm excited.
I can hear you out there just yelling with us, even though you haven't even heard it yet, but we know you will.
They don't know what they're in for.
They honestly do not know what they're in for, but I am excited because I know God's going to do some cool things Amen. Through this ministry, because we really want you to know, we think of this as a ministry, good leadership that represents Christ. That's what it looks like.
Amen. And
so that's the goal of this podcast. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we want to accomplish. This first episode, we're just going to kind of tell you who we are, why we're doing this, and how much we love Jesus, hopefully all in between all this.
Amen so, to all of that.
We're glad. I'm going to kind of turn it over to Chris in a second, but let me give you a quote from C.S. Lewis. He said, we don't need to be taught new ideas so much as be reminded of old truths. There's a lot of that. Don't get me wrong. The thing that I always remember is this is a really good leadership quote that'll really make you feel better about yourself. There's no such thing as an original idea.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So when you know that, you know what, even if you say, well, I came up with that. No, trust me. Someone else did too.
Beat you to
but the good news and what he's saying there is we can keep giving these to each other and grow in them and get better at them. And all of a sudden, you know, there's new things coming out. And hopefully, as you understand the importance of doing this all through Jesus Christ, it'll change your life. So speaking Amen. Of changed lives, let me tell you about somebody who I'm so excited to introduce to you. I can't believe he agreed to do this with me. And he didn't just agree to do it. He helped put it all together. So this is all about what he's done. And I'm so excited about this ministry. Let me introduce you to Chris Hall.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction, Dave. I hope I can live up to that.
Oh, there's no problem. No doubt at all.
And hi to everyone listening. I'm going to give you a little bit about myself so you have an idea who we are. My name is Chris Hall. My fighting name was The Beast. I was born in Eastern Kentucky in the Appalachian region. My father was a coal miner and my mother was a teenager. So my mother was 17 when I was born. And I grew up in Eastern Kentucky, as I said, and my very first job was I worked at McDonald's. I worked there for a year flipping burgers. Had a good time, met a lot of great people, and my high school had a career fair, and one of the booths at the career fair was set up by the FBI.
Wow.
Me and a couple of my friends decided,
that's awesome.
As a joke, we would apply, and I applied, and I got accepted, and they recruited me.
I told you guys he was good.
So I went from working at McDonald's to working in a video store, if those of you who are old enough to know what movie rentals were, and then straight to the FBI in Washington, D.C.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I worked in a lot of divisions there. I started in the IDENT division, and I went and did some really cool undercover work. It's not as impressive as it sounds. And then I ended up in Quantico, Virginia, working with the Behavioral Profile Group. Had a wonderful time there. Very, very stressful job, but very rewarding job. And to, I guess, take the edge off the stress, I became an amateur fighter.
Just throw that in for the good looks. There it is, buddy. That's amazing.
And I did really, really well as an amateur fighter. And I did so well that after about 4 years, I decided to leave the FBI and become a professional fighter.
I bet your mom and dad love that.
Oh, can you imagine that phone conversation when I had to call?
That's awesome.
Mom and dad, I'm going to leave the FBI and become a professional fighter. I'm going to take a steady, stable job, and I'm going to live in the back of my car for a while.
Just going to be knocking some people out. Mama's going to knock you out. That's what happened right there. That's pretty tough. That's pretty awesome, man.
It doesn't seem so awesome now that I'm 52 when looking back at that. But when you're 22, it makes a lot of sense.
So if it's your son, it's not as awesome. It's incredibly awesome. I get you. I'm with you.
So I did really well as a fighter. Before my very first professional fight, we had a tragedy. My mother was hit by a drunk driver and killed. And this is a time that I really needed to lean on God. And God was there for me. And I remember, it's amazing how God can change your perspective. I remember
Amen.
When we were told that she was in an accident. And I started thinking, God, you can't take my mom. You just can't take my mom. But let me tell you, oh, can't he? Yes, he absolutely can. He heals us nothing and we owe him everything.
Yes.
So that was not a good fight for me. My head wasn't in it. But I rebounded and I did really well. I actually became a top 10 fighter in a few years, and I retired with a record of 69-6 with 29 knockouts, and 19 of those knockouts were first round knockouts. So I was known to have heavy hands.
Heavy hands. That works in also making bread, I think. So that's pretty cool.
I fought for the heavyweight championship of the world in 95, and that's when I retired. In 2009, I was very honored to be inducted into the Martial Arts Hall of Fame.
That's amazing.
That's something that I'm proud of. So in 95, when I retired, I was not quite 30, and I had to reinvent myself, and I got involved in technology, and I started applying myself and learning as much as I can about technology. And then as I grew and I went up the corporate chain, I became really amazed with the process of leadership and how a leader becomes a leader and how the different styles of leadership affect different tasks and different people. And at the same time, I was pursuing different educational degrees. I got a bachelor's degree in mathematics and another bachelor's in physics. And finally, a third bachelor's degree in organizational leadership.
Okay, did you guys just hear that? He's got 3 degrees. My aching back. 3 degrees. One of my buddies in college used to always say, my aching back. My aching back. That's crazy.
I couldn't decide where I wanted to go, I guess.
Hey, well, now I get it. Okay. But when I was done with one, I didn't care. I had to do it. I'm 1 degree is good for me.
Well, see, so. You did it right. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that, but I did it. So
I decided to build on the leadership degree, and I went back for a master's degree in leadership. And now I'm about halfway into pursuing a doctorate in leadership. And it's leadership is something that I really, really love. I enjoy it. Amen. I enjoy studying about it. And I really enjoy how you can help me bring the Christ-centered leadership into this.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
I've written a book. It's called DBA 911.
And I haven't, just for the record.
It's for database administrators. That's for those of you not familiar, that's a technical job. These people are responsible for all the data in the enterprise. And it walks them through what to do when everything's going wrong.
Just a little light reading.
And the book did really well.
That's amazing.
At its peak, it was number 1 on Amazon for all database books. And number 2 in all of technology. Thank you. And number 27 on all of Amazon for nonfiction at its peak.
One of us is qualified and one isn't. Can you guess?
It's not me.
It's not me. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry. You're fine.
Then I got into some competitive powerlifting. And I was very fortunate to get with a person that I love like a brother, and he's a strong Christian. He is also one of the world's strongest people, and he took me under his wing, and he taught me so much, and I ended up setting 3 state records.
Good night.
And I've tried to break the bench press world record for the people over 50 twice, and I've failed twice, so the humility's still there.
We'll let it pass. It's okay, man. Good night. Trust me, if you meet this guy in an alley, you're going the other way. I'm just saying.
And the last thing I want to mention is in 2014, I met a lady that as soon as I met her, I knew I've never met anyone like her in my life. And I was just completely enthralled with her. And we were wed in 2016.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So.
And she also has really good two boys and the dogs who are incredible. The one dog's amazing.
Two great boys and 2 great dogs too.
So. Yeah, the dog that snores is my favorite. I feel like I'm preaching right to it. Yep. So
if you're listening and you can hear her snoring behind us, that's my dog, and she's in here with us. And
I love it.
She's old and she doesn't get around very well, but we love her so much.
She's incredible. she's really sweet. Both his dogs are great. Not that it matters, but they're awesome. So I'm gonna put that out there.
So now it's my turn. I want to introduce the person that I respect so much. He's not just a pastor at my church. He's the founder of my church. He is one of the strongest, religiously strongest and spiritually strongest people you'll ever meet. He's a father of 7 kids. It's just unbelievable. It's my pleasure to introduce Dave Scaff.
Wow, for a minute there, I thought somebody else was going to come in because they sounded so good. I'm like, who is this guy?
It's you. It's all you.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. I'm just a fat kid trying to love Jesus. Yeah. And so ultimately, that's one of the messages that I think we will be getting across in this podcast is be who you are as a leader. Don't emulate anything we tell you. Just try to figure out what it is that makes it works for you to put it out there. And so that's kind of the goal of this thing. And I can't wait. So I'm Dave. I'm sorry. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I'm over 50. Pray for me. So it was funny because if you saw, you'll see our Facebook page or our website and all the different things that we're doing right now. And you see the pictures. And one of my son's kids said, "Is your dad fighting that dude?" And I was like, good night, he'll kill me. But it's kind of cool because I've never had one of those, and it did kind of look like we were getting ready to go to fight. So he'll kill me, by the way, if we do. So anyway, I thought that was cool. I thought it's been really neat just kind of getting this thing ready and getting going on it. So way back in the day, I was 16 years old. I was very impressionable. I was helping my dad every night at his bar. And I basically took all the beer bottles and threw them into a garbage can. Now I'm going to do it when they're full. No, I'm kidding. but I did that. And it kind of taught me how to love people and why I needed Jesus so much. Because I saw men in my dad's bar every night, not going home. Drinking till they can't even think anymore and just missing out on what life is. And so at 16, I knew that I didn't want that.
That's a great life lesson.
Yeah. Amen. And so I went to this thing. It's called Young Life. Some of you guys may have heard of it. I went to a camp and on a hill in North Carolina, June 26, 1986, I said, "Jesus, I want you to be my savior. I accept you. I need you. And I love you." It was the greatest decision I've ever made. Amen. And I would make it again. And I try to make it again every day.
That's wonderful.
Every day I want to wake up and say, "Jesus, you're my savior. What are we going to do today?" So here I go. I'm 16 and I don't have a clue. I hadn't done really good in school because I didn't really have a clue. And so all of a sudden, I felt a call to preach and teach and tell people about Jesus, because a lot of the churches that I went to, and I say this with love, but they were boring and they weren't exciting. And my Jesus is not boring, and he's very exciting. And so it really hit me hard. And that was a different time. Some of you guys remember the 80s. Churches were different back then. And you know, if you got excited, that wasn't always a good thing, but no. As a 16-year-old kid, I couldn't hold it back. And so Southland Christian Church, make a long story a little longer. Their youth minister had heard about me just talking about Jesus. And he said, "You need to go to Bible college with me." And I was like, "No, I don't." He goes, "Trust me." I said, "No, okay, I'll go."
So amazing.
Because I said, "Jesus, I want to do what you want to do." And then this guy asked me that. So I got to probably follow it, right? Even though I didn't even think I could get into college. So I go up there and it's incredible. I meet a guy named Wayne Smith, who's the minister at Southland Christian Church.
Yes.
The first thing he saw me, he's a heavy guy. I'm a heavy guy. He said, "You're the kind of guy we need in ministry. We need big men just like you, buddy." And so
that's awesome.
Well, I think it was more because of the way I could eat chicken than anything. But sidebar, he always had Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets in the back of his truck, which was in the back of his car, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
So because he would, in case he ever needed a place to take an offering.
Perfect.
Anyway,
yeah.
You'll learn that Wayne was incredible. He always kept me laughing, always had good humor. And that kind of mentored me into what ministry should look like for me. And so the first youth ministry I had, I learned a lot. I still am growing. It was tough because it wasn't what I thought it would be. I thought Christians were all perfect. I went to Bible college thinking everybody was going to be praising Jesus. And there wasn't that. There were some people that weren't. Now, there were some people that were, and I learned to find those people so I could draw closer to God. And so as I started doing that at Cincinnati Bible College, I graduated in three terms, Reagan, Bushes, and Clintons. That's my favorite joke. And those of you who have heard me know, I use that all the time. So, and there's some truth. Now, it was spread out. The good news is I got out of college debt free. So, and I graduated. So that was things I didn't think that's I would wonderful. Do.
Yeah.
And I did it. And I love that I got that. I wouldn't go back to school. Chris is incredible. He's getting his PhD right now. And I'm just glad that he's doing that for me. And so, because I'm not going to get it. So we're going to have a PhD on here and it's not going to be me. Moving on. The one thing that kept coming on to me and God kept moving in my heart is I wanted to be the kind of leader that he wanted me to be. I wanted to be able to love people the way he wanted me to love people. So I started Christ Church 16 years ago. And the whole goal was that we were going to be real hope for real people because that's what Jesus is. I started that message probably about 5 years ago. I got a little burnout. I got tired. I got worn out. I was trying to do too many things. At some points I felt like I was babysitting people in church. At some point I felt like I wasn't doing what I wanted to do. And so I called a kid that I had baptized in a prior youth ministry who was here in Kentucky. His name is Jeff Gaines. He's not a kid anymore, by the way. He's in his mid-30s. Oh, he's 40. Good yeah. night. I just told the whole world. That's good.
Oh, you outed Jeff.
And I'm good with that. And, He started helping me get that passion back, getting excited again. We've seen kind of a resurgence at Christ Church that I'm so excited that it's there, and I'm so thankful that God's given me this testimony. I'm married way over my head. Amy Scaff is a blessing in every way,
she's
gonna hear this and say, you better have said that. And no, she won't. She'll get mad for me saying it. Yeah, she'll get mad that I brought it out. But I did, and I'm blessed. And I got we have 6 children in our house. We've had 7 total. We had a son that passed away when he was 3 years old. I'm not going to go into that now. But there's some stuff there that also I learned a lot about leadership, but I learned about grief and who I was. And hopefully we can talk about that some. And it's okay, whatever process you're going through is kind of the goal that I want to let you know. And so we started this thing, this ministry. We think God's going to do great things. Let me kind of give you some information just so you know. We called it Lead 12-12 for this reason. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Romans 12:12. So
12.
Lead 12:12 is really challenging us to, number one, just praise Jesus with all you have.
Amen.
If you want to be, that's the thing I've learned in ministry for the last few years. Praise Jesus with everything you have. Learn to be patient. Even in doing this, we've already had to learn to be patient, right, Chris?
Yes.
We thought we had it down, man. I'm telling you what, we were on fire yesterday. But the problem is you got to listen today. And so, because we're learning this process and we're learning patience.
It is a process,
And you got to learn that from other people. And you've got to be patient, not just with yourself, which I think is important, but with other people as well. And we'll talk more about that as well. And finally, the last thing, and this is the most important thing, and this is how we started before we even got on here, and it's prayer. If a leader has those three things, praise and prayer and just really understands the importance of patience, God's going to bless your ministry.
Amen.
God's going to bless your leadership.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you're in the church or in the world or wherever God's put you, wherever God's placed you.
Yes.
That's the kind of leadership that he will require of you. And if you had those three elements, everything else will fall into place.
That's true.
Chris and I, it's weird how we came up with this. We were looking for a name. We both agreed on this, and it was just exciting to watch it all kind of come alive.
Oh, it really has, man.
You guys, let me just tell you, you're going to have to be patient with us sometimes because we're learning. I'm a mess. Sometimes I'll have ADHD. I had it before it was even diagnosed, and I will be all over the place, and Chris will just knock me in the head, and
no,
we'll
I
get
won't.
Right. Yeah, he can, though. We have that kind of friendship.
We do, yes.
And see, the thing that I need you to get is we want to bless you.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're going to have some resources we'll be telling you about, like our Facebook page and our website. Our website is a good place to get a hold of us. Is that right, Chris?
That's true, yes.
And so
Lead1212.com.
Lead1212.com. That's really easy to remember, isn't it?
That's a good one.
The thing is, he'll probably figure out I'll forget my password 8 times, even if it's as simple as what he just did. So
we won't do that.
Yeah. Pray for me. So remember, I told you all those three things. I'm just full circle, and that's our goal. I'm just joking. Thanks for letting us be a part of your life. Thanks for letting us in these few minutes. God bless you. Let us know how we can bless you.
Absolutely. If there's anything we can do for you, you know, coming up in our next episode, we're going to be discussing management theory. For those of you familiar with leadership, we're going to be discussing theory X, theory Y, and theory Z, and those are the three management theories on how managers view employees. And that's kind of the basic or the baseline where all the other management and leadership theories come from. So that'll be an exciting episode.
We'll make it exciting. The goal is that we give you information that will help you, not that will bore you. We're going to try to make it as exciting as we can. We hope that when we come across, we want you to know these are things that are foundational for leadership that we want to just put into your life and bless you with.
Very true.
Thanks for letting us be a part of this first episode. Man, yes. Aren't you excited you were
Moral
here?
Moral episode, yes.
Yeah. I promise it will only get better. Right, Chris? That's what we're thinking.
Absolutely.
If it doesn't, we won't be doing this very long.
No, we won't.
But it is going to get better. I think it's going to be more exciting. I think you're going to see things. And with each thing that Chris shares, I'm going to try to do applicational from the scripture. So we're going to try to put it out there for you so you can live it out loud.
That's wonderful. That's beautiful, too.
Yes, sir. So I think that's it.
That's it. Thanks
that's
for listening.
That's our first one. We it's a wrap.
There we go.
Woohoo! This is an LBS production, which stands for pounds. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it also stands for laughing because we're saved. But we kind of like the pounds. So Chris will lift them and I will gain them and we will have a great time. Thanks for listening.